all across America and around the world. This is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
Welcome to Veterans Radio. I am Jim Fossone. I'm the officer of the deck today. We've got some great programs for you. I think you'll find very interesting. We always want to remind you, you can find more about Veterans Radio at its Facebook site or by going to veteransradio.net, where we're on the web 24/7. You can find a lot of our podcasts there as well. We post new ones every Tuesday, so you can get a new story, a new interview, something you didn't know before by going to veteransradio.net. And before we get started, we want to thank our sponsors. First up, we want to thank National Veteran Business Development Council, NVBDC.org. It was established to certify both service-disabled and veteran-owned businesses. You'll find out how they can help your business by going to NVBDC.org. We also want to thank Eisenhower Center. It's a brain injury recovery center. Learn more about EisenhowerCenter.com. They're located in Michigan and in Florida. We want to thank Legal Help for Veterans. Legal Help for Veterans fights for veterans' disability rights all across the nation. You can reach them at 800-693-4800 or on the web at LegalHelpForVeterans.com. We want to thank VetBiz Central, which is part of the U.S. Small Business Association, VBOC, Vet Business Outreach Centers. VetBiz Central covers Michigan, Indiana, and Ohio, and can be reached at vetbizcentral.org. Let's move on to our programs. We want to welcome on the spotlight today a member of the Association of Michigan Military Organization, or AMMO. Veterans Radio America has a partnership with AMMO to bring you a quick look at a Michigan military organization that supports the history of military service here in the state of Michigan. And we encourage you to visit AMMO on Facebook and this particular organization by visiting its Facebook site and website, and go out and visit it this year. So we want to welcome to Veterans Radio the Michigan War Dog Memorial, the president, Phil Whitliff. Phil, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thank you. I'm honored.
Well, you've been here many times before, but this time you get to be here for the spotlight that we do with AMMO. So let's start with that. Tell our Veteran Radio listeners, Phil, a little bit about the Michigan War Dog Memorial.
Yeah, the Michigan War Dog Memorial was developed about 10 years ago. And it all started with somebody mentioning to me that there was an old abandoned pet cemetery that had a big gray monument with words on it of the war dog. And so I went to take a look at it one afternoon. And as I got to the corner where it's, they told me it was at, I didn't see anything but a heavy wooded area. So I'm with my companion, my German Shepherd, Cody. We walked into the woods, and sure enough, there was that big monument. And as I looked around, I could see these flat headstones popping up through the heavy brush and knee-high grass. And I did one of those things a lot of people have probably done. I stood there and looked around, and I said, you know, somebody should do something about this.
Famous last words.
So we left, and I got home, and I had recently retired. So I'm sitting there one morning having coffee, and I'm thinking about it, you know. All of a sudden, I kind of thought to myself, I said, well, hell, Whitelaw, why don't you do something about it? So I gathered up a lot of my veteran buddies and some canine supporters. And I said, let's go out there and start cleaning that place up. You know, there's a lot of pets buried out there, and people, they're loving pets. And it's a shame that this thing has been abandoned for so many years. So we started cleaning it up. And to be honest with you, it kind of took a life of its own. The more we did, the more we wanted to do. It took us 2 years to totally clean it up. Most of it was manual work, but I was just blessed with having just an army of volunteers that would come. The first day it was going to have a cleanup, I was hoping to get 10 or 12 guys there and gals, and instead I had 55 people show up. And that, as you know, when you ask for volunteers, you never know what you're going to get. But I was just elated that the support that we got, and we just continued that. We set different Saturdays, and we'd all gather out there and start cleaning and take a grid at a time until we got it all done, the whole two-acre plot. So, and once we got it all done, that's when the conversation came up among us. It says, you know, it's already a cemetery. Why don't we start honoring our military dogs? The ones that pass away, let's give them a burial out here. And so one word led to another, and we kind of sat down and says, well, okay, let's do that. Let's rename the whole site. So we renamed it, filed the name, and started a nonprofit organization as the Michigan War Dog Memorial, Inc. And that's when it started. And 2013, we had our first burial of MWD Buddy. He was actually with the Homeland Security at the airport. And that was our first burial. And since then, we haven't turned 45 canine heroes out there. So that's the kind of way it started.
Well, like so many of these members of AMMO, it does just take a core group of men and women who said, you know, let's do something. And you've done something over the last 7 years to 8 years now.
Yeah.
The Michigan War Dog Memorial, Inc., as you mentioned, is a nonprofit organization that people can support with their donations. Tell us where they might go, what website they might go to find out more about the Michigan War Dog Memorial.
Well, there's two places you can go. You can go. We have a real nice website that lists actually all the burials that we've done with the picture of the dog, and sometimes we have some history with it. But then go to mwdm.org. That's mwdm.org. And we try to keep that updated as much as we can. And there is a donation button right on that page where you can just hit the button and make us an offer, which would be great. The other place is we're real heavy on in Facebook, and it's just under the name of Michigan War Dog Memorial. And we post a lot of things on it. If we're going to have a burial, a ceremonial burial, I'll start posting that probably, you know, a month ahead of time. And we always do all the burials on Saturdays at noon. So that's where they can go to see what we're doing.
And this is really an organization, you know, it's, as I say, it's a nonprofit to educate the general public on the heroics and dedication that canines have given to serve and protect us through the years and years. It really hits at the heart of people who are dog lovers and those who in the military or maybe Homeland Security or police forces really understand the role that these pretty smart animals serve, don't they?
Oh, very much. I mean, you know, if you look back, if you do any kind of research, you'll find that that the canines have been fighting alongside our men and women in uniform ever since World War One. And then if you go into the records, in World War II, they're credited with saving 15,000 lives. In Korea, 3,000 lives. In Vietnam, 10,000 lives. Now, you're already up to 28,000 men and women that would not have come home if it wasn't for a dog. And they went on to fight in Bosnia. They fought in Iraq, Afghanistan, you know, and they're fighting the war on terrorism right now. So these dogs have done their job. And when their time comes, that's our mission. We want to make sure that they are recognized, they're respected, and they're honored on their final journey.
And we're talking to Phil Whiteluff, who's the president of the Michigan War Dog Memorial, Inc., the nonprofit. And I want to point out to everybody, you guys provide this internment with full honors at no cost to the handler or owner, if I understand it right.
That is correct. That is correct. We did not want the handler to be burdened by any financial issues to be able to honor their dog. And this includes the headstone. We take care of the headstone. And again, when we announced what we was going to do, the general public was very encouraging, and we had no problem securing funding for that. And that's how we fund it, is through the donations to make sure that the dog's got, you know, got a real nice headstone and a full ceremonial burial. And when I say full ceremonial, I mean, you know, we start with we got a bagpiper. We have an honor guard. We got 12 German shepherds escorting the remains to the table of honor. We have a chaplain, an Air Force chaplain, that does the invocation. We do a reading of the bio of the dog. We present the handler with a folded American flag. We play taps on the bugle. And then we have the canine salute team. They do what they call a salute to their fallen comrade. And one of the dogs will come out of the pack, and he will howl for a good 30 seconds. It's called the final salute. And then we ended up with a missing dog formation we created. And as the dogs walk in uniform and in unison down the path of honor, one dog breaks away from the pack, comes up by the table of honor, goes behind the stage, and disappears as that unit continues down the path with that void there. All that time as that's happening, we're playing the music by Linda Ronstadt of Goodbye, My Friend. And that's when my wife usually passes out the Kleenexes.
Well, you can tell veteran radio listeners this is a service of love for these war dogs, and we're glad that we could have Phil on in this spotlight with Ammo. I want to turn, though, to something, some additional information, though, Phil. Let's yep. talk about, I know they can find it on the website, and that's mwdm.org, but tell us where the location is.
Yeah, it's just a little east of South Lyon on the corner of Milford Road and 11 Mile. You can't miss it. We've got 25 American flags flying out there, and we've got a nice parking lot now. And we got a big sign right there in the corner, it's Michigan War Dog Memorial.
It's
open 24 hours, 24/7.
That's where I was going to go next. If somebody just wants to visit and pay respects, and you know, we're in this weird COVID time, and maybe they don't want to do it in the snow, but is it open to them? Can they just park in there and go in and reflect and pay respects?
Oh, yes. Yes, it's open, you know, pretty much. I say 24/7, I should say, from dawn to dusk. We don't like anybody out there at night. But, it's open for them to come up and view. We kind of halfway close it down in the middle of December and take all the flags down. One year we didn't do that. We had to replace them all.
Right, and, right.
You know,
yeah.
It gets a little costly with 25 flags. But we take the flags down and we kind of winterize it. And we put everything back up again in the middle of March. So, but in between times, people, as a matter of fact, I get calls, I get messages on my email. Is it open for visitation? And yes, it is. You can come out there and take your time and walk through, and you can read all the headstones. Every headstone has a little story on the dog, and you know, what he did, where he was stationed. And, and to see the Vietnam Wall, that was a biggie we put up. So
Phil, I want to talk about a few things that have developed over the last few years. But before I get there, when you guys found this sort of abandoned, grown-over pet cemetery, who owned it? Who owns it now?
Well, it was developed by the Elko family, which is, he was a big farmer in the area, and his son was a veterinarian. And he asked, could he have a little corner when somebody's pet passed away, as a little burial ground. And that's when it started. But it started in 1936. And and they kept it up and they maintained it until the middle 80s. And the next generation wasn't that interested. And that's when they pretty much just let it go. And they stopped maintaining it. And they stopped all burials. And So it was like 20-some-odd years of growth when we found it. But and then the whole section, was bought up by a developer. And the developer came out, well, he knew it was there. But when we started to clean up, we needed to get a, approval to go on his property.
Right, right.
So we sent him a letter and told him what our plans were. And he did, we had to sign that we, liability issues they get concerned about. But that was all taken care of. And after we started cleaning and he see we were very serious about it, he sent his vice president out one day we were cleaning. And he walked up to me. He said, Phil, he says, listen, why don't you walk off what you want? And we're going to have it surveyed and recorded, and we're going to give it to you. So the developer gave us the property.
Wow, that's the sort of thing where you go, well, I don't know how we're going to pull this off, but miracle of God shows up and it works out.
I'm telling you, a lot of things, and I'm going to say this very, very from the heart, a lot of things was like fate. It's like meant to be because people, I mean, corporations were calling me, what do you need? And funding was never a problem. Because you can't get anything done if you don't have any funds.
Now it's, I want to point this out because you talked to me beforehand that while there may be 40 war dog memorials in the country somewhere, a plaque or a statue or something, how many are active with internments and actually final resting places?
Well, there's only two in the whole United States right now. One's in Hartsdale, New York. That was the original pet cemetery in the late 1800s for the celebrities who had these exotic pets. And then after the war, they opened up a section of it and offered burials to military dogs. And then the one we have, the Michigan War Dog Memorial in South Lyon, is only the second one. So there's only two of us in the whole United States that do this right now.
That's really.
And I hope that I wish every state would have one of these.
Exactly. This is the sort of stuff that just gets lost because, geez, you wouldn't think there'd be only two, and one really by veterans for veterans, if you will. One of the things we talked about, and you mentioned how many dogs have, how many lives they've saved in different conflicts. But the other thing I want to point out to our veteran radio listeners, Phil, they were called ambulance dogs in World War I. They became war dogs. Then they became working dogs. I mean, it's really this, because they've been important for so long, even the nomenclature has kind of changed with their use over time, hasn't it?
That's correct. The ambulance dogs was in World War I. And you know what? Do you know why they was called ambulance dogs?
I do not. Tell me.
The dogs in World War I had only three things to do. One was a messenger dog, and one was a security dog, and then they called the one the ambulance dog. That dog was trained that after there was a frontal attack between the trenches, that dog was trained to go out in no man's land to find a wounded soldier. And then when he would find a wounded soldier who was still alive, he would take an article of his clothing or anything he could carry back to the stretcher bearers and then lead the stretcher bearers back to that wounded soldier to get him help.
And you wonder and why they're called
over and over and over.
And you wonder why they're called man's best friend. Yeah.
So that's when they got the name of ambulance dogs. So,
well, you've done a couple of things out there I want to make sure we get to before we run out of time. And one is recognizing or planning for the future. Tell us a little bit about what you've done.
Well, one of the things we did was one thing we definitely wanted to honor was the Vietnam dogs. In Vietnam, there was 4,234 dogs deployed to Vietnam. Only 204 ever made it back to American soil, which is a shame. It would never happen again, but that did happen. The dogs, a lot of the dogs were euthanized instead of bringing them home. It was a sad, sad thing for those handlers. We wanted to honor those dogs. And it took me 2 years to find all their names and tattoo numbers. Every military dog has a tattoo in their left ear. It's like their serial number. So we had to have their serial number. But once we got all that information, I put a notice out of what we was going to do. We wanted a black granite wall, and we wanted to put all their names on that wall. And we got with a company down in Lebanon, Ohio, who does this type of work. And believe it or not, it took us only 90 days to raise $40,000. I was shocked.
Wow, yeah.
I mean, I was shocked. To raise that much money that quick, I thought it would take us years to get there. But people wanted that, those dogs honored. And that's the only place, well, I should say it was the only place, of that type of a monument. Last year was another group down in Ohio that has a similar type monument now honoring those dogs. So that was one thing that we really wanted to do. And the day we had the dedication, we had about 40 Vietnam dog handlers that came from all over the United States to be there that day. And after the ceremony, they all went over there and they found their dog's name. And it was very emotional because that bond between that handler and his dog never died. And they would just run their finger down to find his name and his tattoo number associated with it. And it would just sit there. And they stayed there for hours after the ceremonies, just feeling, you could just see in their mind, they're still walking behind their dog in the jungle.
Wow. You know,
it was extremely emotional.
And you recognized along this path that there are still dogs working in Afghanistan and elsewhere that are going to need a final resting place. So what plans did you make?
Well, usually the handler will call us, you know, that they want, they'd like to have their companion, you know, interned at the War Dog Memorial. And that's the way it starts. They usually contact us. We've had them come all the way from Texas. We've had them come from California. We'll be doing one this spring from Tennessee. So they're starting to come out from different states now, and they want this done. And that's how they just send a message to me. That starts it. And then there's a process we go through. There's a form they got to fill out. So we got all the information, and we just set a date.
Is there a date set for the next one?
Yeah, June 26th is probably going to be our first ceremonial burial, and that's going to be an actual law enforcement dog. Yeah. And that's something we did change in 2017. Our board member, we had a board meeting, and we opened it up. Excuse me. We opened it up. We started with military dogs. We added law enforcement because those dogs do the same job. They're trained the same way. But we wanted to open it up because what we decided and what we talked about is certain service dogs spend their entire life serving us. Your search and rescue dog, your service dog to the handicap, your therapy dog, your PTSD service dog. These dogs spend their entire life serving us. So we said, let's open it up to those six categories. So if a dog falls within that grouping, then they're qualified to be buried out there. We don't do any pets. You know, We don't do any pets. It's got to be a service dog.
And you built
I have to have certification that they are certified. So.
And you built a colibarium for the future too, didn't you?
Yes, we're landlocked. We know we can't go any further. We don't want to run out of room. So what we decided to do, and which we started in January of 2020, that only military and police dogs will now go into the ground. Service dogs will now go into the columbarium. And the columbarium's we got 96 niches, which has lasted for a while. And what we do with that is the black granite door that's on the columbarium, I send that down to Ohio with a picture of the dog, and we etch the dog's picture right on the door. It'll show the dog's name, what type of dog he was, like a therapy dog or search and rescue. And usually we put the born year and just the death year.
Well, again,
we have that photo etched right on the door.
Again, this shows the respect that is being delivered and should be delivered. And as we come to the close, Phil, I know this cuts not only across sort of, the United States of America, but this is caught on in the respect that you have shown has inspired folks as far away as Australia and New Zealand and their canine handlers, hasn't it?
That's correct. It has.
And tell us what you did last spring to sort of bring that loop around to this is really an international view of how canines should be respected.
Yeah, and this all kind of started through a Facebook posting. And so the president of the Royal Australian Air Force Canine Handlers Group contacted me through Facebook. And he said, I've been following you for the last year. And he said, I were absolutely impressed at what you're doing, just showing the respect for their dogs. And we would like to come over and take as many pictures as we can. We'd like to duplicate what you've got in Australia. So, wow, that'd be great.
Yeah, that had to blow your socks off.
So it did kind of catch me off guard. But anyway, talking. And finally, with the COVID thing, they couldn't come over. But I said to him, I said, well, listen, why don't we set up a monument here in our memorial to honor you and your dogs? And they thought that would be great. And he said, we're going to send you this small plaque. Well, he did. He sent this nice bronze plaque. But we went one step further. We made a 4-foot-tall black granite or a gray granite with a black granite plate on it and photo etched pictures of the Australians and their dogs on that stone. At the same time, New Zealand got a hold of me and sent me a plaque and said, would you display this out there? So we've got the New Zealand and the Australian being honored out there. And they're just was ecstatic that we did that for them. And the day we dedicated, we had the Australian Consulate General. She came in from Chicago to be the keynote speaker and speak on behalf of the Australians and the New Zealanders. And we had quite a crowd that came to honor that. So took a lot of pictures, a lot of photos, and we actually took a video of the whole thing and we sent that to Australia. And they played it all over the country. So.
Well, we appreciate all that the Michigan War Dog Memorial, Inc., the nonprofit organization, is doing. Phil Whitliff, we're glad you took some time with Veterans Radio today. One more time, remind people where they can go, what website they can go to, and help donate to the cause.
Yeah, if you go to mwdm.org, mwdm.org, and on the website there's a lot of information. There's information that says that this is how we got started, and there's a lot of pictures of what it looked like before we started cleaning it up, and it takes you all the way to the end to where it is today. And also on that website, there's called a memorial tab, and we have listed every single canine hero that we honored out there with a little bit of history and a picture of the dog.
Well, we want people to support your organization and thereby supporting the Association of Michigan Military Organizations, or AMMO. We hope that they go to the website maybe this spring when the weather turns. They get out and pay some respects. Maybe they put on their calendar the next internment in late June and continue to support all the good work that you and your board are doing out there, Phil. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And I want to thank everybody for listening to Veterans Radio today. I am Jim Fossone. It's been a pleasure to be your host. I'm a veterans disability lawyer at Legal Help for Veterans, and you can reach us at 800-693-4800 or legalhelpforveterans.com on the web. You can follow Veterans Radio on Facebook and listen to its podcasts and internet radio shows by going to veteransradio.net. And until next time, you are dismissed.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.
We would again want to thank our national sponsors, the National Veterans Business Development Council, NVBDC.org, the U.S. Small Business Administration Veterans Business Outreach Center, Eisenhower Center, VA Ann Arbor Health Care System, the Vietnam Veterans of America Charles S. Kettles Chapter, Ann Arbor, Michigan, VFW Graf O'Hara Post 423 in Ann Arbor, and the American Legion Press Corps Post 46, also in Ann Arbor. They keep us on the air, as does your support. Go to Facebook, go to veteransradio.net, and support our efforts. And until next time, you are dismissed.